Possible in part by a grant from Birkenstock Concepts by Heel to Toe in downtown Urbana. For over 25 years, offering all sizes and widths of Birkenstocks, from clogs and sandals to work, dress, and sport shoes. Birkenstock Concepts offers repair and modification services and a certified podorthist and orthotist on staff. Programs on WILL are made possible in part by a grant from Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design, a gallery of imaginative jewelry and gifts in downtown Champaign, offering one-of-a-kind custom design, gemstone round tables, and conflict-free diamonds direct from Canada.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 WILL, Urbana. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Jim Keel and Robin Haggard are with us this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they're here to take your questions about dog care, behavior, and training. Here are the numbers to call if you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Welcome back. Good to see you.
Hi. It's nice to see you, too.
You're filling in for Carol.
Carol's
off gallivanting around.
She's gallivanting, right. Yes. That's exactly what she's doing. Over in Indiana at a Golden Retriever Specialty. It's a dog show where there's only one breed, and it's called a regional specialty. I don't know what the Golden Retriever regions are, but it's probably Midwest or something.
Yeah.
And when did it? It probably started today or yesterday.
Well,
and it'll go through Sunday.
Wish her the best of luck. How's Robbie doing?
So-so. It's Goldens, it's tough. There's a lot of them, and it's very hard to win in Golden Retrievers unless you have an edge, a professional handler or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very hard to win.
What other kind of edges might you have?
A good dog.
A really good,
great
really
dog.
Outstanding dog helps.
And Robbie is a good dog, by the way.
Really, he's a good dog, but in that kind of numerous breed, you can have a lot of good dogs, so then you need to.
You really need to shine. You really need to stand out.
You need to have somebody at the other end of the lead that'll maybe get the judge's attention so they'll look at him.
Yeah.
And of course, some professional handlers can enhance the presentation so the dog, looks nicer, so moves better, things like that.
Yeah. Are there a lot of Malamutes? Is that a popular breed?
No, we're about 42nd in popularity, 42nd or 43rd AKC breeds, so we're not very high up there. And numerically, in terms of the show ring, our numbers are...
But males are beautiful dogs, and they've got a great personalities, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what makes a breed,
Not the breed
popular.
For everyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Labrador Retrievers are probably overall right now the most popular.
They might be number one, yeah.
But if you combine yellow, poodles. Yeah,
yeah.
They bump. But then second would be poodles, but they cheat because you have miniature, toy, and standard, and they count those all as poodles. And then I think German Shepherds are third. Or they were for a long time.
They're up in the top ten.
Yeah.
But Cockers are up there.
Goldens.
Goldens are very high. In the show ring, though, for instance, Boxers, there's tons of Boxers that get shown. And yet you don't see Boxers all that often in homes as pets. So I always
They're usually at the ring working out.
Yeah.
What's the easiest? Is there a breed that just shows beautifully no matter what?
Some of the shorter coated breeds are real easy to take in the ring.
Yeah.
They don't require a lot of grooming. They don't require a lot of conditioning. We have a friend who breeds French bulldogs, and French bulldogs, you wipe them down with a damp cloth and walk in the ring with them. And their numbers are small, but they're a brachiocephalic breed. They have the pushed in noses, so they have certain health problems, and
they can't breathe.
Their temperature restrictions, too, are real interesting. She's already got the air conditioning on in her kennel for them because their tolerance of temperatures like from 60 degrees to 70 degrees.
Wow.
So if it's colder than 60, they need coats. If it's warmer than 70, then they need air conditioning. So
we've got a listener waiting to talk with us. So let's go and talk with our first caller this afternoon on line one. Robin, if you'd put your headphones on, we'll talk with our caller in Ellsworth, line one. Hi.
Hi, good morning, or good afternoon. Thank you very much. I have a female German short hair, and she's very noise sensitive. I had her out in the yard trying some gymnastic stuff, jumping over things, and I have a whistle, and I did one blow on the whistle, and she was just cowering. Any suggestions on increasing her noise tolerance?
Well, there's some medications you can give that'll help. Not really medications. They're herbal remedies. We've used something called Rescue Remedy with the dogs. Sometimes it takes the edge off their anxiety level. You wouldn't want to keep her on it all the time, but you can just put it in her water. And
okay.
So since it's an herbal remedy, it can't really hurt her. And it might make her a little less sensitive. You can desensitize her to some noises, too.
How old is she?
Oh, she's 4.
Is this the first time you blew a whistle for her?
You know, I'm trying to remember. I think maybe.
Okay. It may not be that she's noise sensitive. If you haven't noticed that she's noise sensitive up till now...
Oh, she doesn't like other loud noises.
Okay.
She doesn't like when my husband shoots his gun. She cowers at that, too. So.
How about thunderstorms?
She's outside in a kennel, so I haven't really...
You haven't noticed any anxiety? Or?
She goes inside her doghouse when it rains, so...
Well, that's just sensible.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a thing called gun shyness, which has obvious symptoms, but... Sometimes it's behavioral, usually, but a dog can inherit it. In other words, there's a genetic disposition to being sensitive to loud noises at a certain pitch, and thunder, firing gun. We can't hear all the range of sounds in those noises, but one of them is what the dog is sensitive to.
Okay.
And. So if it's an inherited thing, you have more of a problem. You know, Rescue Remedy is a good thing, and it really helps for dogs that have kind of behaved, you know, have learned to be afraid.
But we may not want a breeder if it turns out to be something genetic.
Yeah.
Particularly in a hunting breed.
Yeah, exactly.
Gun shyness is a heritable trait in, of course, breeds that are used for hunting, it's something that you really don't want to proliferate. So before you would breed her, I definitely would get that checked with someone who's knowledgeable, you know, in the breed.
Okay.
But otherwise, you can desensitize her. If instead of blowing the whistle loud, you know, start soft, mm-hmm. you know, and obvious things, blow it louder. If you have, I don't know, you can play the radio soft and then louder and louder.
You can also use almost like the click and treat that they use for clicker training. Blow mm-hmm. the whistle softly, give her a treat. Blow the whistle a little more loudly, give her a treat. Get her sensitized. Yeah, and that's a good thing. So you can work your way with the whistle so that she gets used to when she hears a whistle, she's going to get a treat. And then it won't be as big a deal if you have to blow it loud and sharp. She may then just say, oh, good, I'm going to get a treat.
Okay.
Were you field working her or trying to?
Yeah, we had her out in the big field, and she was running, and I wanted to get her attention to come back mm-hmm. over to where I had the jump set up, and that's when she just kind of...
Well, I was going to say, usually in field work, you'd use a whistle, but you might consider some other...
A clicker?
A clicker wouldn't carry very far. Shepherds have a whistle... That's more one pitch, and they use it signal the herding dogs. And those carry quite far, but they don't have the harsh noise that a whistle does. And where would you get a shepherd's whistle? I don't know. There's a herding
We have friends who are into herding, and I know there's some herding groups in the area. So if
you're not doing anything, on the other side of Peoria this weekend, there's a herding, the Land of Lincoln cattle dog, right? Anyway, there's a herding event. I'm sure everyone isn't going to rush to it, but I'll bet you could get a herding whistle there. You might check online, you know, go to cattle dog web pages or something like that, or shepherding pages, and see if you can find a whistle. That might be a little less harsh for the dog. These are all just ideas. You know, you can try them all. I think we lost her.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if my earphones were working.
This is wonderful advice. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Rescue Remedy is a homeopathic deal, and it comes in a little teeny vials. And I know people who are great believers in it. I've never used it, but would the dosage for
two drops in a bowl of water or a gallon of water? It doesn't take much. Since it is homeopathic, a little goes a long way. If you have a dog that's really anxious and really having problems, you can drop a couple drops right on their tongue. We shipped a dog to Holland, puppy, last year, and the woman who came to pick him up, she brings Rescue Remedy with her, and she puts a couple drops on the puppy's tongue before they get on the plane, and it really helps a lot to lower that anxiety level.
Yeah, we use it with males when the girls are in season, and the boys will get very upset. We can give them some Rescue Remedy. Now, it doesn't cure it or anything, but it really tones the whining down quite a bit.
Interesting. Very interesting. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Jim Keel and Robin Haggard are with us this afternoon. It's a show we do on the first Friday of the month. We talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to join us with a question, give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign, line one. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Me again. I want to just say that I used Rescue Remedy with my bitch, who was just terribly upset by storms coming through and by lightning.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes the thunder.
The thunder didn't
ask bother. Ed. Yeah.
It was the lightning. But the Rescue Remedy worked, and instead of being a shivering mass of jelly on the floor, she now sleeps through it.
Yeah, that's great. It is very, very useful thing to have around the house, so I find.
Oh, I find, yes. And I have another friend who said, well, she knew a lot of people use it for their dogs, but she used it for herself every time before she went in the ring.
Keep saying this because we get $10 every time you mention it.
Do you?
No, when I first got introduced to it, the guy who was talking to me about it said he just puts a couple drops in like a water bottle and just sips on the water bottle all day. And he said it kind of just keeps him nice and mellow. He can deal with irate customers without getting upset and things
It's wonderful stuff. So, I got it first in England. Mm-hmm. Then I got back
I think
here.
That's where it originated.
And
just so people know, it's
Dr. Bach's Rescue Remedy.
B-A-C-H.
Yeah.
Not the musician, but
Batch.
Batch, right.
Yeah.
Bach's Rescue Remedy.
Right.
And you can get it at almost any health food store, someplace like that.
That's right. We're making money. Keep going.
I found some of the other flower remedies, really useful. I had... we had a woman who came in, who's an herbalist, and she came and talked to us about it at the dog training club one meeting. And I had a female who was very fearful of new situations and made it very difficult to show her. And I got the combination that she recommended for reducing fearfulness, and I gave that to her, just the drops in her water, about an hour before we went in the ring, and she came out with her last major and showed like a dream. And I was like, I've been a believer.
Well, it's wonderful stuff. I'm sure it works. So. I just thought you might like to have somebody call
a
in
testimonial.
And say,
yes.
We've conquered lightning with it.
Right. Excellent.
I'm waiting for the veterinarians to call in and say it's.
There is a veterinarian up in northern Illinois who touts it very highly. His name is Dr. John Hanover.
Well,
they named a city in Germany after
him. The nice thing about Rescue Remedy is you can't hurt the dog by giving it to him.
Or
and if it helps. Yes, or yourself.
We should also add it wasn't initially made for dogs. These things were made for people, and they seem to work on dogs, too.
It's just that dog people found it.
Yeah.
Well, that's my contribution for the day, and I'll sign off. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call. Other calls are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You mentioned the breed that was so sensitive to temperature. I imagine your guys were feeling uncomfortable.
Well,
on Wednesday. Was it yesterday? Wednesday.
We started putting fans on them already, and when it gets up above 90, we bring them all in the air conditioning. We don't keep them out.
And it's time to start thinking about not leaving them in a car.
I've got a dog in a car today because one of our girls is in season, and so I brought the boy who was most upset about it with me today, so he's in the car.
What we do, though, what we're talking about, of course, is cars get awfully hot and leave a dog in there. Ours isn't a car. It's a van, and we have the doors open, the windows down, and he's in a crate. So the breeze goes right through, and the heat doesn't build up. Yeah. But you can't leave a dog, or a human, for that matter, young or old, in a car. And I love going in the middle of the summer and it's 110 degrees and people have their windows rolled down like 1 inch and the dog is in there and they go, that's not going to do it. You know, if it's that hot and the sun's out.
That's why I wanted to mention it, because people do it.
Yeah, and you don't think this early in the season that it's going to get that hot. But the sun beating down on a closed car.
It's the greenhouse effect.
Yeah.
Because the ultraviolet rays go through the glass. Mm-hmm. They hit the inside of the car. They turn into heat.
Mm-hmm. You can make dinner in there.
The infrareds don't go back out through the glass as easily. And so the heat just builds up.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be, as Robin said, doesn't have to be, the air temperature doesn't have to be that high. It's the sun coming through that actually heats everything up. And winding your window down 1 inch isn't going to provide a dog or a kid or any other human for that matter enough. It's still going to get awfully hot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other advice for traveling with?
Always have lots of water. Yeah. Bring water with you.
Yeah, we always carry our own water so that the dogs at least have something from home, and they are not adjusting to new water all the time.
Yeah, sudden changes in water.
Uh-huh.
Will be regrettable for you if in the car, because the dogs can get the runs and upset stomachs from a sudden change in a totally different kind of
water. Yeah, either that or just tastes different, and it's like, what's this?
Well, what we do is that we'll take a couple gallons and then, like Rescue Remedy, just kind of combine a little of ours with the local water, and that seems to keep it down.
Let's talk with another listener.
Oh, another listener.
Caller in Peoria, line 4. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. We've got 4 wonderful Scottish Terriers, 3 in a litter, and together with their mother. But we have a total of 3 females, and our single male, the son, naturally, twice a year, goes crazy because the bitches tend to come into season at roughly the same time.
Right.
And I heard you mentioning the Rescue Remedy. Is this likely to be of any help to him at that time?
That's what we use it for a lot with our males. When our girls are in season, I just start putting it in the water buckets, just a couple of drops.
Uh-huh.
And that way the dogs are getting a little bit of it all day long, or I put a couple of drops in their food dish with their water on top of the food. And
so I'm sorry to interrupt. You're giving it to both the females and the males? Just the males.
And it keeps them calmer. It kind of, you know, how they get the shakes and they're whining and they just go, they're beside themselves.
Well, yes, and in fact, for a while he stops eating.
Right.
It's really pathetic.
Yeah. Some dogs, if you put them on the Rescue Remedy, right when the girls start to come in and just carry it on through, they'll still get anxious, but they don't get as bad. Also, I've been finding that chlorophyll for the girls really helps to keep the scent down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as potent. And so even though the male's in the same household, it doesn't seem to have as much of an effect if you keep the girls on chlorophyll.
Is there any chlorophyll in those things, the pills that they sell to keep the dogs from burning the lawn? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've seen those pills, but I've never really looked at the ingredients.
I wonder. Because we found, to our surprise, that they actually work, particularly with the females. They tended to burn that lawn, and we were staying for a while where it was someone else's lawn.
I would assume the pills change the pH in the urine.
Right.
But I don't know that they would have chlorophyll. The best chlorophyll that I've found was at the health food store, and it was a powder. And I would just put the little bit of the powder in their food dish at night.
We need a brand name if we're going to make any money off this. Yeah.
and that worked very well. But I'm using pills right now on the girl we have that's in season. And I didn't catch her right when she came in. It takes a couple of days for it to really take a good effect,
mm-hmm.
the chlorophyll. But if you notice when your girls start to come in and put them on it right away, I think you'll notice that the boy won't get quite so excited, and then the rescue remedy helps him, too.
Right. Well, even if we miss a couple of days for the first bitch, they tend to respond one to the other anyway, so we'll start them all at the same time, I imagine.
Right. Yeah, because it's called the dormitory effect. When the girls live together, they all come in season roughly the same time.
Now, you mentioned, you're saying a couple of drops for about what amount of water for the boy?
Half gallon to a gallon.
Oh, okay. So it's really extremely dilute.
Yes.
You know, compared to what an adult normally would take.
Right. Well, it's the same dosage no matter what the poundage, basically. It's
mm-hmm.
Since it's homeopathic, a couple of drops go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the little bottle is just teeny little dropper bottle, and you'll think, why am I paying
$10
or something like that for this little bottle?
But it
goes a long way.
I'm already convinced of homeopathy, and we have Rescue Remedy. Mm-hmm. We haven't used it for this purpose, but it sounds ideal. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
And
I would just put it in his water source, and if the girls drink it too, it won't hurt them. So.
The only thing is, as far as other homeopathic setups, I know in human beings, someone who's gifted finds out about the nature of the human being before prescribing one or another homeopathic remedy. And I'm not sure we're in the neighborhood of being able to figure out that kind of nature of a dog personality, but who knows, maybe we could.
Yeah.
You know, sulfur as opposed to pulsatilla or whatever the other remedy might be.
Right. Well, I was the woman that talked to us, the herbalist that came and talked to us at our dog training club, she had the little, I don't know what you call it, chart. And it said, you know, this is good for these anxiety, this is good for fearfulness, this is good for... And I just took I think there were two or three remedies that were recommended for those sorts of things, and I put them together.
I have to sign off. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. With the calendar, can you anticipate heat?
You can, but as we say,
are there different factors?
As Shakespeare said, man proposes and dog disposes. And was that Shakespeare?
I think you might have misquoted whoever it was. But that's okay.
What I was thinking with the dogs in love, I was thinking, to quote, paraphrase Shakespeare, dogs have died from time to time and worms have eaten them, but not for love.
But to get back to Celeste.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just in a Shakespeare mood.
Yes.
That's all.
Bard Keel.
Yeah. The girls, most females cycle every 6 months. But after a little while, you'll get into the rhythm of whatever. If your female's intact, some will come in as often as 4 months. Some will wait 8 or 9 months. Breed-specific things like borzois usually only come in season once a year. A lot of the sighthounds are like that. Basenjis, they almost all come in season at the same time every year.
So Ross has been trying to breed Hannah for the last 2 days, and Robin's saying, well, that can't be because Hannah isn't due in. And I said, well, tell it to Ross. You know. Yeah. Don't tell me.
The last... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say Ross is an idiot anyway, so...
His show is off the air now, too.
Yeah. He was named for Friends. Last night was their final night. So.
Yeah. They left their keys on the counter.
They did. Wasn't that symbolic?
Yeah.
Now, what was I going to... What was I?
You were asking about heat cycles and the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I wanted to move on to another question. I wanted to ask you, last time the two of you were here, you had a puppy, and it was a litter of one, correct?
Yeah.
How are things going?
We now have two litters of one.
Oh, my.
Our other girl.
The second one more tragic, though.
Yeah.
The first one was one puppy. That's all there was. The second one, there were six puppies, and five died.
Oh.
And we have not, and we have one. So we have two litters of one puppy.
Yeah, the second girl had to have an emergency C-section. Two of the puppies had died in utero, and they kind of were decaying, and that caused the other puppies to affect the other puppies. So they didn't survive when we did the C-section. But we have one bouncing baby boy. So.
And how's mom doing?
Mom's doing really well.
She was a little depressed the first couple days, but she was in pain. And
We had her spayed, too, since she's of an age we weren't going to breed her again. When the vet did the C-section, I just said, go ahead and spay her. So.
But now she's sneaking around looking for new homes for the puppy. She doesn't like where we keep the puppy, and she's convinced she can find outside a much nicer place.
So what does she do? How does she go about this?
Well, she checks out places, digs a hole, see what the wind is like. And
make a nice den.
Mm-hmm. And then she comes back and says, I'll just take the puppy outside just for a second. No.
We have a large den under one of our fir trees. And it's...
That's the one that Jim got caught in.
Yeah.
Not me. The dog, Jim.
Yeah.
He was old.
Oh, yeah.
He was old. I think I told the story out there. Mm-hmm. But he was old and his rear didn't work. And he went down to this hole and he couldn't get back out.
And you were all dressed up, ready to
go. I was all dressed up and nowhere to go. So I had to... get in my grubbies and climb down the hole with him. And he was in pain. So when I started to pull him, he didn't bite me, but he was making it clear that he might if I kept pulling him. So I had to, and I was alone, of course, and I didn't want to leave him in this hole all day. So I finally got a rope around him and was able to pull him out. And he got out, and I'm sweating and dirt in my mouth and eyes from crawling in this hole. And he gets up, he shakes off, and he starts, just walks away. Oh, well, that was fun.
Well, at least he didn't turn around and go back in the hole.
Well, that I put a screen over it or some metal over it.
Yeah, we covered it with wire.
That jerk. Anyway, that hole originally was dug by a mother who wanted to have her puppies down there.
Yeah, and Stephanie went down there while I was at home with her waiting to have the puppies. I let her out to go potty, and she headed straight for that tree, and she went down that hole, and I was just praying that she'd come back up again when I called her, and luckily she did, and then I put the screen back over it so she couldn't get back down there. Because we had a girl years and years ago that got in her little nest that she had dug under some sheet metal, and... I couldn't get her out.
Couldn't get her out.
And it was pouring rain. She was determined she was going to have her puppies have in pups. That little hole. And
we finally fooled her. I started the car. We opened the door. And that was too much for her. She ran up and jumped in the car.
We're going.
We're going. Where are we going? You ain't going anywhere, honey.
So after that, she didn't go out without a leash.
Dirty Irish trick. Questions about dogs? Give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455. This is The Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. This is a topic we take up once a month on the first Friday of the month. Robin Haggard in today for Carol Lindholm, who's off at a show with Robbie, her beautiful golden. And Jim Keel is with us this afternoon. Robin and Jim have beautiful Malamutes.
Thank you.
Lovely Malamutes.
I was going to mention there's a four dog shows coming up in Bloomington the 24th, weekend. It's not the Memorial weekend. It's the weekend before. But there's four dog shows, and that they're in Bloomington at the Interstate Research or Interstate Park. There's a big exposition building there in Bloomington. And
just north of Bloomington.
And it's nice shows. They have obedience there as well. So if people want to go to a dog show, it's a nice family event. And I don't even think there's a charge to get in over there. There might be a charge for parking.
I wanted to mention our new and improved website.
Okay.
And I wish I had the URL, but it's through PrairieNet. And it's something like www.dtccudogtrainingclubofchampaign-urbana.prairienut.com/something-or-other.
If they put in DTCCU, they'll in yeah, the
well,
search.
I think I found it just by putting it in my browser, Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana,
right.
It pops
mm-hmm. it'll,
right
it'll
up.
Pop yeah. up. But we have all kinds of links, and Mary, our webmaster, has improved it so that upcoming events are easier to find and read. And we have a calendar for the area. And I forgot how we define area, within 100 miles or something, even in Indiana. And the Peoria, I think the Peoria event will be on there. If there are any herds people out there that are interested in that, they can look at the website and check out exactly where that is. I forgot. Plus, on May 30th, we're having an obedience fun match at the club. And somewhere else on our website, you can get the registration form and you can sign up online for that. And that's just a fun match. It's not a trial. We're having our trial the first weekend in June. That I think it's June 5th.
And what's a trial?
A trial is this is an obedience trial, and you have to enter in advance. And it's an AKC event, so the dogs have to be AKC dogs. But people take their dogs in and run through a series of obedience exercises, and they're scored on it. And if they pass, they get a leg toward a title for obedience. And there's a little friendly competition about who gets the highest score, but we Malamute people don't ever worry about that. We're usually in the lower end of the scale, so we're just trying to get a leg.
Okay, and I've got the Dog Training Club site right up on mm-hmm. the computer right here yeah. in the studio. Looks very nice. Mm-hmm. Let's talk with another listener, a caller on line one in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Hi.
My
parents just joined a Lhasa Rescue League and received their first foster placement. Mm-hmm. And he's doing really well, but when they try to put a harness or a leash on him, he bites.
Uh-huh.
And they're able to touch him and pet him and groom him, and he sits on their lap, but as soon as he sees that leash, he bites anybody around. And they're kind of at a loss as to what going on, or is he in pain, or they don't really know the history of him.
Yeah, my guess is that there was probably some abuse situation where he associates having that kind of restraint put on with some painful experience that he's had. If they can do other things with him, petting wise and that handling wise. Uh-huh. Then it may just be the restraint or a combination of that plus an association with when he's been abused or made to do things he didn't want to do in the past. I would recommend that they put a soft, like nylon-type collar on, a semi-slip preferably,
uh-huh.
And put just about a 6-inch piece of clothesline or any light line like that, just dangling from it, just to permanently attach it to the collar.
Okay.
And leave it on.
And leave it on him. And that way they can get him whenever they need to. And they could even put a little loop at the end of this 6 or 8 or 7 inch piece of like clothesline or anything like that, so they could attach a leash to that so they wouldn't have to get close to his face. But I think if he wears a collar and this little, we call it like a grab lead, if he wears that and nothing bad happens to him, in other words, he's not going to be punished when he has it on, he's not going to be made to do things he doesn't want to do when he has it on, he'll get used to it and he'll get to the point where he won't mind them working with him with it. I'd also recommend that they take some food and just reach out and touch the collar. Don't grab it. Don't pull it. Just give him a treat. Touch the collar. Give him a treat. Touch the collar. Just so that he gets used to having that hand close to the collar and not going for it.
Do you know about how long that type of...
With some dogs, it may be a couple of days, and he may be to the point where he says, oh, nothing bad's going to happen. It depends upon really how bad he associates this.
Where is he sleeping?
He has his own kennel, and he goes in and out of that no problem. He lays in front of it. And
Where do they keep the kennel?
It's in the kitchen.
Good.
Next to the, they have an existing dog also. Mm-hmm. So both of
is it a Lhasa?
I'm sorry?
Is their dog also a Lhasa?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good.
And they, it's just become a problem because when they take him out to go potty, it's this issue every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've had him for, I think, a month and a half.
Has he been checked out by a vet?
He was, and she did find that he has... maybe arthritis or some spinal spurs hurting.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so they wondered if it was just a pain reflex that he was doing this.
It could be that he associates having the collar on with some pain from the past.
Okay.
And that's one of the problems. There's a chiropractic vet that comes up here to the dog training club once a month, and it might be a good idea to have him checked by a chiropractic vet as well. Because sometimes they can do adjustments that'll really help if there's arthritis. We, with the dogs that we pull for weight pulling, we have them adjusted about once a month or once every 2 months. And during the pulling season, we might even go more often because the pulling can cause problems. So if he's had some trauma in the past, it might be that a chiropractic visit would help him a lot.
And is that available on your website, the name of that?
No. There's a chiropractic vet in town as well.
I don't. If you wanted to actually send an email to the dog training club, we could give you the name and time when this vet comes to visit, and we set up appointments for her just locally.
My concern is a little bit that this is little to do with pain or anything or even abuse, but has more to do with dominance. That's why I was asking those questions. You gave the answers that indicate it might not be dominance.
I wasn't reading it as dominance if they can do other things with the dog. Mm-hmm. If you can...
He's really very friendly, and you can get around his face and, rub his belly, and he'll sit next to you, but his... he'll growl and nip as soon as he even sees that lead.
Well, they'll have to get it on him once. So.
Yeah, they do, and they actually have been, kind of leaving it on him.
Yeah, if they leave it on, the problem with doing that, and this is an obvious caution, is you got to keep an eye on the dog because they can hang them, they can get hung up and injure themselves. But where you have a dog that's having such a problem, you want to, we also call it a drag line if it's a lot longer. It's either a grab lead or a drag line.
Yeah, and I suggested the semi-slip nylon collar because if he does get it caught on something, then he can normally slip it over his head if he needs to.
Yeah, a semi-slip is one that tightens to a certain point and then won't tighten anymore. It's it's not like the choker.
Yeah, it's a safer collar to leave on them if you have to do that.
Okay.
And maybe a chiropractic checkup.
Because if there's some neck issues, they could let you know what's going on and then maybe do an adjustment that would help.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana, line 2. Hi.
Hello. Yes, I came into the show late. I am a batch flower essence practitioner and teacher, and I may have been the person that came and gave the presentation a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
The caller before last, he asked a really relevant question about homeopathics and using them for specific cases. Rescue Remedy was developed for acute situations, so using them in the manner that you were talking about would be totally appropriate. But also, even the last caller talking about an animal that may have had some abuse issues in the past, putting 4 drops of Rescue Remedy in that animal's water would maybe help with any fear problems the animal may be incurring. So I just wanted to let the listeners know that, you know, that is something that is appropriate, and one doesn't have to, you know specifics of where these problems came from. The Rescue Remedy was developed for acute situations. So I just wanted to
That was a good idea on the Lhasa.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Great,
okay.
Thank you.
And
it's Batch?
If you're from England, it's Batch, and that was just because...
or Botch.
In Dr. Batch's time, when he practiced in London, I think it was just a London or English thing that doctors didn't like to do the Bach, the German. So when we're in the UK and we're at the Batch Centre, it's Batch, and when I come back here and teach, I slip back to calling him Bach,
okay.
Which would be the Welsh or the German.
Just a small point, but an interesting one.
Yes. It's just like tomato.
Uh-huh.
One of those. All right. Thanks very much. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. We have a couple minutes left in this portion of the program. If you'd like to give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I don't know. Maybe you'd like to talk about the challenges and rewards of rescue work.
It really is... particularly if you love a breed but you're not interested in breeding or showing, it's a very nice way to help that breed out, to become a foster home like these folks are doing with the Lhasa. All rescue organizations, there's mixed breed organizations as well, but for the breed groups, they're always looking for foster homes to put the dogs in. Yes, to put dogs in for the temporary time until they can find a permanent position for them. And some foster homes, too, will work with the dog that might have problems, but not problems that wouldn't make them placeable. But if they would have a housebreaking issue, the foster home might work on that. Or if they have some other... like training things, just learn teaching the dog to walk on a leash and sit and things like that. So, and just socializing the dog to a home. So it's a wonderful way to get involved with your breed if you can't have very many or you're not interested in showing or breeding. You just love that breed.
Let's talk with one more caller this afternoon before we have to wrap things up. A listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi, this is me, and I wanted to put in a plug for Jane Flaxen, who is talking about Rescue Remedy. It's not only good for pets, but for people. I'm one of those people, and also for people who are experiencing death. It decreases anxiety. It's a wonderful stuff, and I'll hang up and listen if you have time, because I know I'm calling late. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. A lot of Rescue Remedy fans out there. Boy.
Yeah, well...
I didn't know.
Yeah. Who knew? No, we knew.
Yeah. Well, when I got introduced to it, I was skeptical, and I've used it for more and more things and just found it very useful. And as I say, I used a combination of these other Bach remedies on this one dog, and she was a different girl when she walked in the ring, and so that convinced me that the other remedies can work, too.
Jim says Botch.
You say Botch. I say Batch. Bach.
Let's call the whole thing off. Let's call it a day.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't see any problem with this relationship.
Thank you very much, the two of you, for joining us this afternoon. And we'll talk with you again, I'm sure, in the future.
It's my pleasure to fill in, and hopefully Carol will be back next month.
Well, I hope she's doing well. Robin Haggard and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. Thanks. 10 minutes before 2 o'clock, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. Here's Todd Gleason.
Indeed they are, and what a day it was at the Board of Trade today. Again, Futures in the bean pit, get this, up 32.5 cents on this last trading day of the week in the May contract. They settled at 10.50 and a half. We'll take a complete look at the settlement prices from the soy complex in just a bit. But let's start at this hour with what happened in the wheat pit for the day. May wheat at 3.98, high low at 3.92, a settlement price there. At 3.93 and a half, they were down one for the day. July futures, 4.06, the high, the low at 3.99. And they settled 403. They were a quarter higher. September futures are a quarter lower, rather. 412, the high in the September contract, the low at 405, settled 407 and a quarter, down two in December, unchanged. Had a high today of 420 and a half, a low at 414 and a half. Settlement price there, 418 and three quarters. March wheat for the day, 425, the high, the low at 420, settled 422, and they were down two. From the corn pit, May futures, 309, the high, low at 301, settled 307. A penny and a quarter higher for the day. July futures, 313, the high, the low at 305, settled 311, and they were up three quarters. September contract from the corn pit, 309 and a half, the high, the low at 301 and a half. Settlement price at 307 and three quarters, and they finished 1 cent higher for the day. Now the December contract, 306 and a half the high, low at 298, settled 304 and three quarters, up one. And the March futures, 310 the high, the low at 302, settled 308 and three quarters. They were up one as well. May futures in the corn pit, 312 the high, the low at 305, settled 311 and a half. They were down one and one quarter, rather up one and one quarter. July futures, 312 the high, the low at 304, settled 310 and three quarters, up one and a quarter. Now here's that loser for the day, down a penny and a quarter. The December 2005 contract, 277 and a half the high, the low at 276, settled 276 and a half once again. December 2005 corn finished a penny and a quarter lower. May oats now 166 the high, the low at 164, a settlement price there at 166. They were down two in July futures, 173 the high, the low at 168 and a half, and a settlement price at 172, down three quarters. Many interesting things happening today. Of course, Sparks coming out with their new acreage figure for the corn and soybeans across the nation, a lower figure for the soybeans, and their corn figure was up 2.5 million acres at 81 and a half. I believe that was the figure. We'll get back to that number here in just a bit when we talk with Mike Zuzulo this afternoon during the closing market report. That comes up at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time today. From the soy complex now, the bean futures sharply higher, up 32.5 cents, 10.52 the high, the low at 10.11, settlement price at 10.50 and a half. Of course, that lower number from Sparks spurring things on, but in the old crop, it's all about how much is left in the bin and when will we run out of soybeans this summer. They decided to trade it once again today, discounting any of the rainfall that might be coming across the Midwest to help the bean crop out. July futures, 10.35 the high, the low at 9.89, the settlement price at 10.31 and a half, and they were up 31 cents for the day. In the August soybeans, 9.72 the high, the low at 9.27, settled 9.65, that's up 24 for the day. September futures, 8.44 the high, the low at 8.18, settled 8.41 and a half, 16 and a half cents higher. And the November beans, 7.84 the high, low there at 7.57. They finished the day 8.5 cents higher at 7.76. January soybeans, 7.83 the high, the low at 7.58. Settled 7.75, up 6 3/4. In the March contract, 7.70 the high, the low at 7.50. Settled 7.66, up 7 on the day. May bean meal at 3.33.80 on the high side. The low at 3.18.50. Settled 3.28.70, up 6.90. And July meal, 331.50 the high, the low at 315.50, settled 326. They were up 7 even. May bean oil for the day, 33.90 the high, the low at 32.75. A settlement price there at 33.90, 83 higher in July futures, 33.50 the high, the low at 32.22. A settlement at 33.32. They finished 70 higher on the day. That's a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Mercantile Exchange. Celeste?
Thank you, Todd. It looks like it was a mostly higher day today on the Mercantile Exchange. May feeder cattle, the high 102.50, the low 101.30, the settlement 102.42 and a half, that up 60. August, the high 99.50, the low 98.10, the settlement 99.02 and a half, that up 40. September feeder cattle, 98.05, the high 97 even, the low 98 even, the settlement, that up 50. June live cattle, 85.17 and a half, the high 84.15, the low, the settlement 84.37 and a half, that down 80. July 87.50, the high 87.50, the low, and settlement, that's showing a change up 25. August live cattle, 86.40, the high, 84.80, the low, 86.02 and a half, the settlement, that up 27 and a half. May lean hog, 70 at 35, the high, 76.90, the low, 78.07 and a half, the settlement, that up 172 and a half. June lean hog, 74.80, the high, 73.42 and a half, the low, 74.27 and a half, the settlement, that up 75. July lean hog, 75.90, the high, 74.35 the low, 75.67 and a half the settlement, that up 87 and a half. August lean hog, 72.90 the high, 71.45 the low, 72.70 the settlement, that up 92 and a half. And May pork bellies, 122.25 the high, 117.50 the low, 122.22 and a half today's settlement, that up 295. The Dow is down 80 points at 10,161. The NASDAQ is 3 lower at 1935. The S&P 500 down 10 points at 1104.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway Piano Showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Mark Towner from Ann Arbor, Michigan wants to know, Dear Dr. Science, I frequently see cloud shapes that resemble animals, everyday objects, and household appliances. I have never seen one that looked like a 1947 Dodge pickup. Why?
Most cloud shapes I see resemble character actors from the 40s and 50s. I'll never forget the time I saw two clouds that were the spitting image of Ward Bond and Edgar Buchanan float across the field outside our research park. Another time I saw William Frawley and Gloria Graham wrestling off to the west, just under some mean-looking thunderheads. Yes, cloud watching can be a pleasant diversion, a lot like watching TV only without the commercials. Now, your desire to see a classic Dodge pickup is really a yearning to return to the womb. Cloud watching can't help you there. I'd recommend primal scream therapy.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Duck's Breath. To order the Dr. Science Smug Mug, call 800-989-DUCK.
That's Dr. Science.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by Euromart International Food Store on Springfield and Locust in Champaign, offering 8,000 food items from Europe, South America, the Middle East, and the Orient. The Euromart hosts a cheese and olive tasting from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
You're tuned to AM 580 WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the University of Illinois. It's 1 minute before 2 o'clock, 71 degrees in Urbana. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Henry Frayne is our technical director today. The producer for the program is Harriet Williamson. My name is Celeste Quinn. Let's take a look at Ed Kieser's forecast for